From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Daniel's just drunk on Poetry Month.
Hold on. Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl, going pound for pound with Shakespeare one act at a time. Much like the cold and hot air, which causes whirlwinds. I learned that on the weekend. Hot air meets cold air, and they pound each other, and then they create whirlwinds. You're not supposed to go near them, because you might get hit with debris. Montreal's had a lot of whirlwinds this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because the hot pavement and the snow that's still on the side. Yeah, that's right. It's April, and we still have snow in Montreal for all our listeners in Florida or Senegal. Thank you for joining us for the fourth act of The Tragedy of King Lear. We invite you to go to bardbrawl.com and listen to and comment on the first three acts, where we discovered all sorts of wonderful things about humanity. Eric Jean, across from me, also discussed King Lear last week in our first ever discussion podcast. How did you like that, Eric?
It was fun. It was fun, but we need feedback from people to know like what they want us to talk about, what they don't understand or get. And
while you're leaving feedback, why not donate $5? Every single person's wasted $5 three out of 7 days
like
a week.
A double frappuccino macchiato.
I wasted $5 just about an hour ago on coffee and a cheddar croissant I didn't need.
Yeah, but it was delicious.
No, it was okay. It was that second cup.
Yeah.
Hey, they didn't pay for that. I'm not talking about that. Anyway, there is a donate button on bardbrawl.com. Please feel free to donate to us because we would love it and would love you. Speaking of people I love, I have four brawlers in addition to myself today. Eric Jean, who I already mentioned.
Yes.
Stephanie E.M. Coleman, who you heard but didn't know who it was because you can't see her because you're listening.
Hi.
And Jay Reed.
Hey, hey.
Fresh off a film meeting. Industry meeting. How was it?
It went well.
It was for Byline?
Yeah, they screened the initial rough cut.
Exciting. Yeah. Are you excited? Are you happy with it?
No, but it's getting there.
I appreciate that. That other lovely laugh in the corner was the adorable Zoe Baldwin. Is going to leave us sometime soon.
No, do it.
I shouldn't even bring it up. I'll just pretend that this doesn't exist.
We'll just pretend like it's not happening.
Yeah. Okay. And then it
denial.
Won't.
Yeah.
That's what I did with Benny.
Not happy.
And now he's not here.
But now he's coming back.
Yeah, and he's coming That's back. True. So it goes, King Lear. Eric Jean, can you explain something to me?
Yes.
Is there a marked distinction between the Jacobin Shakespearean plays and the Elizabethan Shakespearean plays? King Lear being a Jacobin Shakespeare play.
Yes.
Okay, good. Moving on.
It's a tough question that I'm sure a lot of scholars are writing a lot of papers that no one's reading about it. But the short answer is yes, because a lot of the first plays written under Elizabeth are sort of concerned with she was a little bit more into the theater. She saw more of a use for it and didn't really fight it too much, and so Shakespeare could sort of go and do his thing. But it's, in the first few years when James ascended to the throne, it seems like he's sticking to very much sort of the tragedy, and I know Macbeth is the one I think to really
to signal the change.
I think it's a good example, but I'd have to do some reading.
It's very interesting looking at the early plays. So many histories, the Henrys and the Richards.
Could just be Shakespeare getting older and deciding he wants to write.
Getting darker, more depressing.
Hoarding more greens.
Much like all old people are. that was a joke.
I'm sorry. Which one comes first?
Elizabethan
or the...
Yes.
Okay.
Elizabeth. King Henry VIII, who we remember from the TV show The Tudors, was followed by his tiny son.
I know that part.
And then Elizabeth, and then James is after.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
King James Bible.
Yeah, in fact, James is the first of the Stuart kings. Because Jacob is the original version of James. James is an English version of the Jacob. Greek.
Interesting. Perhaps you can leave a little comment on bardbrawl.com about your thoughts on the Jacobin v.
Elizabethan. Give it some thought and produce a better reply.
Rather than doing a whole synopsis of the whole play because it's so complex, I will invite you, listener, to go to bardbrawl.com and click on Act 1, followed by Act 2, followed by Act 3, and you can read Eric Jean's description of everything that happens. He works very hard on it, and there's an very entertaining video that he's added to a couple of them. One of them gave me nightmares.
Sean Bean
death scene one was pretty intense.
Oh, poor Sean Bean.
So the fool has disappeared.
Yes. Lear's in the wilderness.
Lear is in the wilderness.
So is Edgar.
Edgar's in the wilderness. Gloucester has no eyes.
That's right. He's just been blinded.
He's been blinded.
And they're all together.
They're all together. Yeah. In one big, happy, blind, crazy family. Has Lear become the fool?
Who knows?
Who knows? That's the question. You, listener, will decide and leave a comment on barbell.com. So, we're going into Act 4. We are in a heath.
Oh, that's me. Am I Edgar or am I in disguise?
You are Edgar in disguise as yes. Caius or Tom of Bedlam.
Tom of Bedlam, not Caius. Caius is Kent.
Oh, Kent is Caius, right.
Yeah.
So Edgar is in this as Zoe Baldwin. Gloucester, the blinded Gloucester, is Eric Sean. And we need an old man.
Jay Reed.
Jay Reed, you want to be an old man?
Sure.
Not today.
This, by the way, the most clever, I'll say it, I said it, the most clever characterization of the blind is in Akira Kurosawa's Ran.
Oh, yeah.
The blind Gloucester / Kent, it's very well done.
Yeah.
I'll read the instructions because I'm not in this, because I'm Lear, I'm taking a break. Enter Edgar.
Yet better thus, and known to be contemned, than still contemned and flattered. To be worst, the lowest and most dejected thing of fortune, stands still in esperance, lives not in fear. The lamentable change is from the best, the worst returns to laughter. Welcome then, thou unsubstantial air that I embrace, the wretch that thou hast blown unto the worst owes nothing to thy blasts.
Enter Gloucester, led by an old man.
But who comes here? My father, poorly led? World, world, oh world, but that thy strange mutations make us hate thee. Life would not yield to age.
Oh, my good lord, I have been your tenant and your father's tenant these 80 years.
Away, get thee away. Good friend, be gone. Thy comforts can do me no good at all. Thee they may hurt.
You cannot see your way.
I have no way, and therefore want no eyes. I stumbled when I saw, full oft, 'tis seen our means secure us, and our mere defects prove our commodities. Oh, dear son Edgar, the food of thy abused father's wrath, might I but live to see thee in my touch, I'd say I had eyes again.
How now? Who's there?
Aside.
Oh, gods, who is't can say, I am at the worst. I am worse than e'er I was.
'Tis poor mad Tom.
And worse I may be yet. The worst is not so long as we can say this is the worst.
Fellow, where goest?
Is it a beggar man?
Madman and beggar too.
He has some reason, else he could not beg. Last night's storm I such a fellow saw, which made me think a man a worm. My son came then into my mind, and yet my mind was then scarce friends with him. I have heard more since. As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods, they kill us for their sport.
How should this be? Bad is the trade that must play fool to sorrow, angering itself and others. Bless thee, master!
Is that the naked fellow?
Aye, my lord.
Then prithee get away, if for my sake thou wilt o'ertake us hence a mile or twain in the way towards Dover, do it for ancient love, and bring some covering for this naked soul, which I'll entreat to lead me.
Alack, sir, he is mad.
'Tis the time's plague when madmen lead the blind. Do as I bid thee, or rather do thy pleasure. Above the rest, be gone.
I'll bring him the best peril that I have.
Come on it what will.
Oh. Come on it what will.
Exit.
Sirrah, naked fellow.
Poor Tom's a cold.
Aside.
I cannot daub it further.
Come hither, fellow.
And yet I must. Bless thy sweet eyes, they bleed.
Knowest thou the way to Dover?
Both stile and gate, horseway and footpath. Poor Tom hath been scared out of his good wits. Bless thee, good man's son, from the foul fiend. 5 fiends have been in poor Tom at once. Of lust, as Obidicut, Hobbidence, Prince of Dumbness, Mahu of Stealing, Modo of Murder, Flipperty Gibbet of Mopping and Mowing, who since possesses chambermaids and waiting women. So bless thee, master.
Well done.
I like it.
Here, take this purse. Thou whose the heaven plagues have humbled to all strokes. That I am wretched makes thee happier. Heavens, deal so still. Let the superfluous and lust-dieted man that slaves your ordinance, that will not see because he does not feel, feel your power quickly. So distribution should undo excess, and each man have enough. Dost thou know Dover?
Aye, master.
There is a cliff, whose high and bleeding head looks fearfully in the confined deep. Bring me but to the very brim of it, and I'll repair the misery thou dost bear with something rich about me from that place. I shall no leading need.
Give me thy arm. Poor Tom shall lead thee.
Exuned. Very nice, poor Tom.
Poor Tom.
It's actually really... I like those scenes because they're really sweet. Because it's the sun reunited, but they're both... They can't see each other yet.
They can't. It's just
But it's like, yeah.
It's really heart-wrenching.
It's really not like, good.
I don't think I can handle doing this. Here I go.
Is the Led Zeppelin song based on this poor Tom? Might be.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Research. There's some research to be done.
I was actually listening to Led Zeppelin when I wrote the last thing.
Oh, good. Which album?
It's Density.
I don't know. It's like a... Like, I downloaded, like, all of them and then just shuffled all the...
Ah, nice. A good mix.
Yeah.
I always liked Houses of the Holy. Such a good album. It doesn't get talked about very much. Ah, oh, Act 2! Ah, we are in the darkness of Goneril.
Scene 2.
Goneril, Edmund, Oz. Oh, all the horrible people. Goneril is...
Woman.
Was it you, Eric?
Yes, I was the F's and the G's.
Edmund is the bastard. Edmund is J. Reed. Not a bastard. Oswald was me. Albany is...
That was me.
Yeah, Zoe, you haven't been to Albany for a while. A messenger?
Albany has a super low voice.
Stephanie E.M. Coleman. And if Stephanie, you can read the stage directions, that would be great. Sure. Oswald is not dead, by the way.
No.
There's some confusion in
the
last scene.
Yeah.
There, I think there are some editions that confuse Oswald for a different servant who tries to prevent Reagan from blinding... Reagan and Cornwall from blinding... Caused her. Anyways.
All right. I didn't know. I was confused myself. Before the Duke of Albany's palace, enter Goneril and Edmund.
Welcome, my lord. I marvel our mild husband not met us on the way.
Enter Oswald.
Now, where's your master?
Madam, within. But never man so changed. I told him of the army that was landed. He smiled at it. I told him you were coming. His answer was, the worse of Gloucester's treachery. And of the loyal service of his son, when I informed him that he called me sot, and told me I had turned the wrong side out. What most he should dislike seems pleasant to him. What like offensive?
To Edmund.
Then shall you go no further. It is the cowish terror of his spirit that dares not undertake. He'll not feel wronged which tie him to an answer. Our wishes on the way may prove effect. Back, Edmund, to my brother. Hasten his musters and conduct his powers. I must change names at home and give the distaff unto my husband's hand. This trusty servant shall pass between us. Ere long you are like to hear, if you dare venture in your own behalf, a mistress's command. Wear this. Spare speech. Decline your head. This kiss, if thou durst speak, would stretch thy spirits up into the air. Conceive and fare thee well.
Edmund?
Yours in the ranks of death.
Well done.
We just cut that little part out. That's all.
My most dear Gloucester.
Edmund goes.
Here, Gloucester is Edmund. As you remember, Cornwall gave him the title. He's not referring to blind Gloucester. My most dear Gloucester, oh, the difference of man and man to thee a woman's services are due. A fool usurps my bed.
Madam, here comes my lord.
He goes. Enter Albany.
I have been worth the whistling.
Oh, Goneril, you are not worth the dust which the rude wind blows in your face. I fear your disposition. That nature which contemns its origin cannot be bordered certain in itself. She that herself was sliver and disbranched from her material sap, perforce must wither and come to deadly use.
More, the text is foolish.
Wisdom and goodness to the vile seem vile. Filth savor but themselves. What have you done? Tigers, not daughters. What have you performed? A father and a gracious aged man, whose reverence even the head lugged bear would lick. Most barbarous, most degenerate, have you madded? Could you, my good brother, suffer you to do it? A man, a prince, by him so benefited, if that the heavens do not their visible spirits send quickly down to tame these vile offences, it will come. Humanity must perforce prey on itself like monsters of the deep.
Milk-livered man, that bear'st a cheek for blows, a head for wrongs, who hast not in thy brows an eye discerning thine honour from thy suffering, that not knowest fools do those villains pity who are punished ere they have done their mischief. Where's thy drum? France spreads his banners in our noiseless land. With plumed helms thy state begins to threat, whilst thou, a mortal fool, sits still and cries, alack, why does he so?
See thyself, devil, proper deformity shows not in the fiend so horrid as in woman.
Thou vain fool!
Thou changed and self-covered thing, for shame! Bemonster not thy feature. Were't my fitness to let these hands obey my blood, they are apt enough to dislocate and tear thy flesh and bones. Howe'er thou art a fiend, a woman's shape doth shield
thee. Marry your manhood, mew.
Enter a messenger.
What news?
Oh, my good lord, the Duke of Cornwall's dead, slain by his servant, going to put out the other eye of Gloucester.
Gloucester's eyes?
A servant that he bred, thrilled with remorse, opposed against the act, bending his sword to his great master, who, the threat enraged, flew on him, and amongst them felled him dead, but not without that harmful stroke which since hath plucked him after.
This shows you are above, you justicers, that these are nether crimes so speedily convenge. But, oh, poor Gloucester! Lost he his other eye?
Both, my lord. This letter, madam, craves a speedy answer. 'Tis from your sister.
Aside.
One way I like this well. But being widow, and my Gloucester with her, may all the building and my fancy pluck upon my hateful life. Another way, this news is not so tart. I'll read an answer.
Where was his son when they did take his eyes?
Come with my lady hither.
He is not here.
No, my good lord, I met him back again.
Knows he the wickedness?
Aye, my good lord, 'twas he informed against him, and quit the house on purpose, that their punishment might have the freer course.
Gloucester, I live to thank thee for the love thou showedst the king, and to revenge thine eyes. Come hither, friend, tell me what more thou knowest.
They go.
Another
pardon me.
Glowing portrait of marriage in Shakespeare.
Two very deep voices.
And yeah. Another occasion where we explain something that the text then explains for us very clearly.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
The servant.
Yeah. Yeah. Servant. But, you know, some additions screw it up and make it confusing. Uh-huh. All right. Kent.
Tom's cold.
Kent is Stephanie M. Coleman. Ooh. Reprising a role as Kent, first gentleman. Shall we battle it out between Zoe? Yeah, you can take a little rest for the scene, and we'll give it to Mr. J. Reed, first gentleman. Are you ready?
Again?
Would you like to read,
Daniel.
Mr. Rowe?
Oh, I could do first gentleman.
You should take part.
I'm saving up my energy for Edmund.
Okay.
Wise.
Fair enough.
He's got some good stuff coming up.
Eric, you can do stage directions if you want.
Ooh, I do want. All right. The French camp near Dover. Enter Kent and first gentleman.
Why the King of France is so suddenly gone back, know you no reason?
Something he has left imperfect in the state, which since his coming forth is thought of, which imports to the kingdom so much fear and danger, that his personal return was most required and necessary.
Who hath he left behind him, General?
The Marshal of France, Monsieur Lefebvre.
Did your letters pierce the Queen to any demonstration?
Aye, sir. She took them, read them in my presence, and now and then an ample tear trilled down her delicate cheek. It seemed she was a queen over her passion, who most rebel-like sought to be king o'er her.
Oh, then it moved her.
Not to a rage. Patience and sorrow strove, who should express her goodliest. You have seen sunshine and rain at once. Her smiles and tears were like a better way. Those happy smilets that played on her ripe lips seemed not to know what guests were in her eyes, which parted thence as pearls from diamonds dropped. In brief, sorrow would be a rarity, most beloved, if all could so become it.
Made she no verbal question?
Faith, once or twice she heaved the name of father, pantingly forth, as if it pressed her heart, cried, sister, sister, shame of lady, sisters, Kent, father, sisters, what in the storm, in the night, let pity not be believed. There she shook the holy water from her heavenly eyes, and clamor moistened, then away she started to deal with grief alone.
It is the stars. The stars above us govern our conditions. Else one self-mate and make could not beget such different issues. You spoke not with her since?
No.
Was this before the king returned?
No, since.
Well, sir, the poor distressed Lear's in the town, who sometime in his better tune remembers what we are come about, and by no means will yield to see his daughter.
Why, good sir?
A sovereign shame so elbows him. His own unkindness that stripped her from his benediction, turned her to foreign casualties, gave her dear rights to his dog-hearted daughters. These things sting his mind so venomously that burning shame detains him from good Cordelia.
Lack, poor gentleman!
Of Albany's and Cornwall's powers you heard not?
'Tis so. They're afoot.
Well, sir, I'll bring you to our master Lear and leave you to attend him. Some dear cause will in concealment wrap me up a while. When I am known aright, you shall not grieve lending me this acquaintance. I pray you go along with me.
Exit.
Okay. Cordelia.
Oh, I'm back.
Returns.
I can talk like a lady now?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
This is my throat hurts now.
We have Cordelia, doctor, soldier's officer, French messenger, Dr. Eric, French messenger, Jay. Right. One line apiece. A French camp near Dover. A tent. Enter with drums and colors, which make no noise. Cordelia.
They swoosh in the wind. Swoosh.
Doctor and soldiers.
Alack, 'tis he. Why, he was met even now as mad as the vexed sea, singing aloud, crowned with rank fumiter and furrow weeds, with hardcocks, hemlock, nettles, cuckoo flowers, darnel, and all the idle weeds that grow in our sustaining corn. A century sent forth. Search every acre in the high-grown field and bring him to our eye.
Exit an officer.
What can man's wisdom in the restoring his bereaved sense? He that helps him take all my outward worth.
There is means, madam. Our foster nurse of nature is repose, the which she lacks. That to provide in him are many simple operatives whose power will close the eye of anguish.
All blessed secrets, all you unpublished virtues of the earth, spring with my tears, be aidant and remediate in the good man's distress. Seek, seek for him, lest his ungoverned rage dissolve the life that wants the means to lead it.
Enter French messenger.
News, madame. The British powers are marching itherward.
Quebec messenger. Tis known before.
Give them all Quebec wires.
I approve.
Tis known before, our preparation stands in expectation of them. Oh, dear father, is it thy business that I go about? Therefore, great France, my mourning and importune tears hath pitied. No blown ambition doth our arms incite, but love, dear love, and our aged father's right. Soon may I hear and see him.
Exeunt. Act 4, scene 5. We are back in Gloucester's castle. Regan and Oswald. Oh, Eric, go ahead with stage directions.
Alrighty. Faster. Yeah, who was Regan?
I was Regan at one point, and I think Zoe
Stephanie's
was,
Regan.
Am
I? Yeah.
Okay. Be mean. Spare no meanness. Gloucester's castle. Enter Regan and Stuart Oswald.
But are my brother's powers set forth?
Aye, madam.
Himself in person there?
Madam, with much ado, your sister is the better soldier.
Lord Edmund spake not with your lord at home?
No, madam.
What might import my sister's letter to him?
I know not, lady.
Faith, he is posted hence on serious matter. It was great ignorance, Gloucester's eyes being out, to let him live. Where he arrives, he moves all hearts against us. Edmund, I think, is gone, in pity of his misery, to dispatch his knight of the life. Moreover, to descry the strength of the enemy.
I must needs after him, madam, with my letter.
Our troops set forth tomorrow. Stay with us. The ways are dangerous.
I may not, madam. My lady charged my duty in this business.
Why should she write to Edmund? Might not you transport her purposes by word? Belike, some things I know not what. I'll love thee much. Let me unseal the letter.
Madam, I had rather...
I know your lady does not love her husband. I'm sure of that. And at her late being here, she gave strange lads and most speaking looks to noble Edmund. I know you are of her bosom.
Aye, madam.
I speak in understanding. You are, I know it. Therefore, I do advise you take this note. My lord is dead. Edmund and I have talked, and more convenient is he for my hand than for your lady's. You may gather more. If you do find him, pray you give him this, and when your mistress hears thus much from you, I pray desire her call her wisdom to her. So fare you well. If you do chance to hear of that blind traitor, preferment falls on him that cuts him off.
Would I call meet him, madam? I should show what party I do follow.
Fare thee well.
Exit.
All right. Oof. Fast. Fields, near Dover. Gloucester. Edgar. Lear. First gentleman. Attendance, Oswald. Oh, two characters in this play. Jay, you can read Oswald if he says anything.
He probably says something.
Yeah, he always gives his two bits in. Or first gentleman. Either way.
Baxter.
All right. Stephanie, you want to do stage directions here?
Sure. In the country near Dover, enter Gloucester and Edgar, dressed like a peasant.
When shall I come to the top of that same hill?
You do climb up it now. Look how we labor.
He thinks the ground is even.
Horrible steep. Hark, do you hear the sea?
No, truly.
Why, then, your other senses grow imperfect by your eyes' anguish.
So may it be indeed. He thinks thy voice is altered, and thou speakest in better phrase and matter than thou didst.
You are much deceived. I am nothing, in nothing am I changed but in my garments.
Methinks you are better spoken.
Come on, sir, here's the place. Stand still. How fearful and dizzy 'tis to cast one's eyes so low. The crows and choughs?
I guess so.
Choughs that wing the midway air show scarce so gross as beetles. Halfway down hangs one that gathers sampire. Dreadful trade. Methinks he seems no bigger than his head. The fishermen that walk upon the beach appear like mice, and yon tall anchoring bark, diminished to her cock, a buoy almost too small for sight. The murmuring surge that on the un...
Sorry.
We're all there.
That on the unnumbered idle pebbles chafes cannot be heard so high. I'll look no more, lest my brain turn and the deficient sight topple down headlong.
So set me where you stand.
Give me your hand. You are now within a foot of the extreme verge, for all beneath the moon would I not leap upright.
Let go my hand. Here, friends, another purse. In it a jewel well worth a poor man's taking. Fairies and gods prosper it with thee. Go thou further off, bid me farewell, and let me hear thee going.
Now, fare ye well, good sir.
With all my heart.
Why do I trifle thus with his despair as done to cure it?
Oh, you mighty gods!
He kneels.
This world I do renounce. In your sights shake patiently my great affliction off. If I could hear it longer and not fall to quarrel with your great oppressless wills, my snuff and loathed part of nature should burn itself out. Fedgar lives. Oh, bless him. Now, fellow, fare thee well.
He falls.
Oh, I have that later. Oops.
Ooh, really?
Gone, sir, after Edgar's.
Gone, sir, farewell. And yet I know not how conceit may rob the treasury of life when life itself yields to the theft. Had he been where he thought, by this had thought been passed.
Aloud.
What?
Oh, she has it as a sort of an aside and then...
Yeah. Oh, see, yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's okay.
Me neither.
Alive or dead. Ho, you, sir, friend. Hear you, sir. Speak.
Aside.
Thus might he pass indeed, yet he revives.
Aloud.
What are you, sir?
Away and let me die.
Hadst thou been aught but gossamer, feathers, air, so many fathom down precipitating, thou'st shivered like an egg, but thou dost breathe, hast heavy substance, bleedest not, speakest, art sound. 10 masts at each make not the altitude which thou hast perpendicularly fell. Thy life's a miracle, speak yet again.
But have I fallen or no?
From the dread summit of this chalky bourne. Look up a height. The shrill gorged lark so far cannot be seen or heard. Do but look up.
Alack, I have no eyes. Is wretchedness deprived that benefit to end itself by death? 'Twas yet some comfort when misery could beguile the tyrant's rage and frustrate his proud will.
Give me your arm. Up so. How is't? Feel you your legs? You stand.
Too well. Too well.
This is above all strangeness. Upon the crown of the cliff, what thing was that which parted from you?
Poor unfortunate beggar.
As I stood here below, methought his eyes were 2 full moons. He had 1,000 noses, horns whelked and waved like the enrigid sea. It was some fiend. Therefore, thou happy father, think that the clearest gods who make them honors of men impossibilities have preserved thee.
I do remember now. Henceforth I'll bear affliction till it do cry out itself, enough, enough, and die. That thing you speak of, I took it for a man, often 'twould say, the fiend, the fiend, led me to that place.
Bear free and patient thoughts.
Enter Lear, crowned with wild flowers and nettles.
But who comes here? The safer sense will ne'er accommodate his master thus.
No, they cannot touch me for coining. I am the king himself.
Oh, thou side-piercing sight.
Nature's above art in that respect. There is your press money. That fellow handles his bow like a crow keeper. Draw me a clothier's yard. Look, look, a mouse. Peace, peace. This piece of toasted cheese will do it. There's my gauntlet. I'll prove it on a giant. Bring up the brown bills. Oh, well flown bird. In the clout, hewn, give the word.
Sweet marjoram.
Pass.
I know that voice.
Ha! Goneril with a white beard. They flatter me like a dog and told me I had the white hairs in my beard ere the black ones were they. To say aye and no? To everything that I said aye and no to was no good divinity. When the rain came to wet me once, and the wind to make me chatter when the thunder would not peace at my bidding. There I found him. There I smelt him out. Go to. They're not men of their words. They told me I was everything. 'Tis a lie. I am not ague-proof.
The trick of that voice I do well remember.
Is
he not the king?
I am every inch a king. When I do stare, see how the subject quakes. I pardon that man's life. What was thy cause? Adultery? Thou shalt not die. Die for adultery? No, the wren goes to it, and the small gilded fly does lecher in my sight. Let copulation thrive, for Gloucester's bastard son was kinder to his father than my daughters got tween the lawful sheets. Toot luxury, pell-mell, for I lack soldiers. Behold yon simpering dame, whose face between her forks presages snow, that minces virtue and does shake the head. To hear of pleasure's name, the fit you not the soiled horses go to with a more riotous appetite. Down from the waste they are centaurs, the woman all above, but to the girdle do the gods inherit beneath is all the fiends. There's hell, there's darkness, there is the sulphurous pit, burning, scalding, stench, consumption. Fie, 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 pa, pa. Give me an ounce of civet, good apothecary. Sweeten my imagination. There's money for thee.
Oh, let me kiss that hand.
Let me wipe it first. It smells of mortality.
Oh, ruined piece of nature, this great world shall so wear out tonight. To naught. Dost thou know me?
I remember thine eyes well enough. Ouch. Dost thou squiny at me? No. Do thy worst, blind Cupid. I'll not love. Read thou this challenge. Mark but the penning of it.
Are all thy letters suns I could not see?
I would not take this from report. It is, and my heart breaks at it.
Read.
What, with the case of eyes?
Oh ho! Are you there with me? No eyes in your head? Nor no money in your purse? Your eyes are in a heavy case, your purse in a light. Yet you see how this world goes.
I see it feelingly.
Art mad? A man may see how the world goes with no eyes. Look, thine ears. See how yon justice rails upon yon simple thief. Hark, in thine ear change places, and handy dandy, which is the justice, which is the thief. Thou hast seen a farmer's dog bark at a beggar?
Aye, sir.
And the creature run from the cur? There thou mightest behold the great image of authority. A dog's obeyed in office. Thou rascal beetle, hold thy bloody hand. Why dost thou lash that whore, strip thy own back? Thou hotly lust to use her in that kind, for which thou whipst her. The user hangs the cozener. Thorough, tattered clothes, small voices do appear. Robes and furred gowns hide all. Plates sin with gold, and the strong lance of justice hurdles breaks. Armed in rags, a pygmy's straw doth pierce it. None doth offend. None. I say none. All able him. Take that of me, my friend, who have the power to seal the accuser's lips. Get thee glass eyes, and like scurvy politicians, seem to see the things that thou dost not. Now, pull off my boots. Harder, harder so.
Oh, matter and impertinency, mixed reason in madness.
If thou wilt weep my fortunes, take my eyes. I know thee well enough. Thy name is Gloucester. Thou must be patient. We came crying hither. Thou knowest, the first time that we smell the air, we wall and cry. I will preach to thee. Mark.
Lear takes off his crown of weeds and flowers. Alack, alack the day.
When we are born, we cry that we are come to this great stage of fools. This, a good block, if were a delicate stratagem, to shoe a troop of horse with felt. I'll put it proof, and when I have stolen upon these son-in-laws, then kill, 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 kill.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, Lois.
Enter first gentleman with attendance.
Jay.
Is that me?
Sure.
It is now.
Oh, here it is. Lay hand upon him, sir, your most dear daughter.
No rescue? What? A prisoner? I am even the natural fool of fortune. Use me well. You shall have ransom. Let me have surgeons. I am cut to the brains.
She'll have anything.
No seconds? All myself? Why, this would make a man assault, a man of salt, to use his eyes for garden water pots, aye, and laying autumn's dust.
Good sir.
I will die bravely, like a smug bridegroom. What? I will be jovial. Come, come, I am a king. Masters, know you that?
You are a royal one, and we obey you.
Then there's life in it. Come, and you get it. You shall get it by running. Sa, 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 sa.
Exit running. Attendants follow.
A sight most pitiful in the meanest wretch. Past speaking of in a king, thou hast one daughter who redeems nature from the general curse which twain have brought her to.
Hail, gentle sir.
Sir, speed you. What's your will?
Do you hear aught, sir, of a battle toward?
Most sure and vulgar, every one hears that which can distinguish sound.
But by your favor, how near's the other army?
Near and on speedy foot. The main descry stands on the hourly thought.
I thank you, sir, that's all.
Thou that the queen on special cause is here, her army is moved on.
I thank you, sir.
Exit first gentleman. You ever, gentle gods, take my breath from me. Let not my worser spirit tempt me again to die before you please.
Well, pray you, father.
Now, good sir, what are you?
A most poor man, made tame to fortune's blows, who, by the art of known and feeling sorrows, am pregnant to good pity, Give me your hand. I'll lead you to some biding.
Hearty thanks. The bounty and the benison of heaven to boot and boot.
Enter Oswald.
A proclaimed prize, most happy that eyeless head of thine was first framed flesh to raise my fortunes. Thou old unhappy traitor, briefly thyself remember, the sword is out that must destroy thee.
Now let thy friendly hand put strength enough to it.
Edgar interposes.
Wherefore, bold peasant, durst thou support a published traitor? Hence, lest that the infection of his fortune take like hold on thee. Let go his arm.
Chill not let go, sir, without further occasion.
Let go, slave, or thou diest.
Good gentlemen, go your gait, and let poor Volk pass. And should I have been swaggered out of my life, 'twould not have been so long as 'tis by a fortnight, nay. Come not near the old men, keep out, cave or ye. Or I sit try, whether your custard or my ballow be the harder, chill be plain with you.
Out, dunghill!
They fight.
Ching, ching, ching.
Chill ye, pick your teeth, sir. Come, no matter for your voice.
Slave!
Oswald falls.
Thou hast slain me, villain. Take my purse. If ever thou wilt thrive, bury my body, and give the letters which thou find'st about me to Edmund, Earl of Gloucester. Seek him out upon the English party. Oh, untimely death. Death.
He dies.
That's one of the weirdest dying
speeches. Hey.
Do all this stuff. Finish up my checklist.
if you're looking for a promotion, do this.
I know thee well. A serviceable villain, as duteous to the vices of thy mistress as badness would desire.
What? Is he dead?
Sit you down, father. Rest you. Let's see these pockets. The letters that he speaks of may be my friends. He's dead. I am only sorry he had no other deathsman. Let us see.
Age.
Leave, gentle wax, and manners. Blame us not. To know our enemies' minds, we rip our hearts. Their papers is more lawful.
Read the letter.
Let our reciprocal vows be remembered. You have many opportunities to cut him off. If your will want not, time and place will be fruitfully offered. There is nothing done if he return the conqueror. Then am I the prisoner, and his bed my jail, from the loathed warmth whereof deliver me, and supply the place for your labor. Your wife, so I would say, affectionate servant, Goneril. Oh, indistinguished space of woman's will! A plot upon her virtuous husband's life, and the exchange for my brother! Here in the sands thee I'll rake up, the post unsanctified of murderous lechers, and in the mature time, with this ungracious paper, strike the sight of the death-practiced duke. For him 'tis well that of thy death and business I can tell.
The king is mad. How stiff is my vile sense, that I stand up and have ingenious feelings of my huge sorrows. Better I were distract, so should my thoughts be severed from my griefs, and woes by wrong imaginations lose the knowledge of themselves.
Drums far off.
Give me your hand. Afar off methinks I hear the beaten drum. Come, father, I'll bestow you with a friend.
There you go.
Ooh.
A tent in...
Edmund's dirty.
He's bad.
Dirty. Go ahead.
A tent in the French camp. Enter Cordelia, Kent, doctor, and gentleman.
Doctor.
Ooh.
Ooh,
enter Cordelia.
Doctor.
Kent still dressed as Caius and doctor.
Ooh.
Oh, thou good Kent, shall I live and work to match thy goodness? My life will be too short and every measure fail me.
To be acknowledged, madam, is overpaid. All my reports go with the modest truth. Not nor more nor clipped, but so.
Be better suited. These weeds are memories of those worser hours. I prithee, put them off.
Pardon, dear madam. Yet to be known shortens my maid intent. My boon I make it that you know me not till time and I think meet.
Then be it so, my good lord.
To the doctor.
How does the king?
Madam, sleep still.
Oh, you kind gods, cure this great breach in his abused nature. Them tuned and jarring senses, oh, wind up of this child-changed father.
So please your majesty that we may wake the king. He hath slept long.
Be governed by your knowledge, and proceed at the sway of your own will. Is he arrayed?
Aye, madam, in the heaviness of sleep. We put fresh garments on him.
Be by, good madam. When we do wake him, I doubt not of his temperance.
Very well.
Enter Lear in a chair carried by servants. First gentleman in attendance. Soft music.
Please you draw near. Louder the music there.
Oh, my dear father, restoration, hang thy medicine on my lips, and let this kiss repair those violent harms that made my two sisters have in thy reverence made.
Kind and dear princess.
Had you not been their father, these white flakes had challenged pity of them. Was this a face to be opposed against the warring winds, to stand against the deep, dread-bolted thunder, and the most terrible and nimble stroke of quick, cross lightning, to watch, poor perdu, with this thin helm, mine enemy's dog, though he had bit me, should have stood that night against my fire, and wast thou fain, poor father, to hovel thee with swine and rogues forlorn, in short and musty straw? Alack, alack, 'tis wonder that thy life and wits at once had not concluded all. He wakes, speak to him.
Madam, do you, 'tis fittest.
How does my royal lord, how fares your majesty?
You do me wrong to take me out the grave. Thou art a soul in bliss, but I am bound upon a wheel of fire that mine own tears do scald like molten lead.
Sir, do you know me?
You are a spirit, I know. When did you die?
Still, still, far wide.
He's scarce awake. Let him alone a while.
Where have I been? Where am I? Fair daylight? I am mighty abused. I should even die with pity to see another thus. I know not what to say. I will not swear these are my hands. Let's see. I feel this pinprick. Would I were assured of my condition.
Oh, look upon me, sir, and hold your hands in benediction o'er me. No, sir, you must not kneel.
Pray, do not mock me. I'm a very foolish, fond old man, 80 and upward, not an hour more nor less. And to deal plainly, I fear I am not in my perfect mind. Methinks I should know you, and know this man. Yet I am doubtful, for I'm mainly ignorant what place this is, and all the skill I have remembers not these garments, nor I know not where I did lodge last night. Do not laugh at me, for, as I am a man, I think this lady to be my child Cordelia.
And so I am, I am.
Be your tears wet? Yes, faith, I pray weep not. If you had poison for me, I will drink it. I know you do not love me, for your sisters have, as I do remember, done me wrong. You have some cause, they have not.
No cause, no cause.
Am I in France?
In your own kingdom, sir.
Do not abuse me.
Be comforted, good madam. The great rage you see is killed in him. And yet it is danger to make him, even o'er the time he has lost. Desire him to go in. Trouble him no more till further settling.
Will it please your highness walk?
You must bear with me. Pray you now forget and forgive. I am old and foolish.
Exit. Kent and the first gentleman remain.
Holds it true, sir, that the Duke of Cornwall was so slain?
Most certain, sir.
Who's the conductor of his people?
As 'tis said, the bastard son of Gloucester.
They say Edgar, his banished son, is with the Earl of Kent in Germany.
Report is changeable. 'Tis time to look about. The powers of the kingdom approach apace.
The arbitrament is like to be bloody. Fare you well, sir.
Exit.
My point and period will be throughly wrought, or well or ill, as this day's battle's fought.
Exit.
This is a nice act. Lots of nice things happen in this act.
Mm-hmm. Act 3 was not a couple the nice
things. Except for Oswald getting killed.
Sorry. That's a nice thing, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, actually. Yeah.
It's kind of a curmudgeon.
Yeah. But it's
the... Edgar begins the house cleaning.
the reunification of Cordelia, who left in Act 1, mm-hmm. and Lear, and Edgar, and Gloucester.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the crux of this.
Yeah. But it's strange that they are reunited, and yet it's still the play ends in such a, as we will see shortly,
shambles
next week. It's not so good.
This is a very fun play to read, I will say. Especially when I noticed that Zoe has both of the sort of most charming and lovable characters, Cordelia and Edgar.
Didn't choose those, you gave them to me.
And J. Reed has the two worst.
Are you trying to say something?
And Cornwall. Well, First Gentleman is fine. He did well. Why doesn't First Gentleman have a name in this play? He has about 20, 30 lines. Maybe you could give him like a name or Essex or Warwick.
I got cast in King Lear and First Gentleman.
He has more lines than the Doctor. More lines than the Doctor. And he also has... There was one character that had a name.
Doctor doesn't have a name either. He's just Doctor.
Yeah, but there was one guy who had a name that also did like Burgundy or something that didn't really say anything. And France. We haven't seen him forever.
He's not coming back.
He's France.
Karan. Karan has a name. And he has four lines. But First Gentleman has an actual major part. It has no name.
Don't overthink it.
It's not... I'm
thinking too much. Now I have a headache. I did yoga this morning. Now I have a headache.
Did you drink enough water?
I drank a lot of water. I thought I did, but I did sweat a lot. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Thank you, Bard Brawl listeners, for listening to Act 4 of King Lear. You can go to bardbrawl.com, as I said before, and leave a comment on what you thought of this act or any act.
Act 5.
You can
suffer from the slump.
You're ready for Act 5. Mm. Next week, we have trusted you, the listener, with listening to Act 5. You listened to Act 3, I hope, and heard all the horrors that were in that act. Get ready for more, because Act 5 is on the way. You can friend us, like us on Facebook. We don't friend.
You don't know our names, even though they're on the internet.
If you like us, we're the friend. Mm. We're friends. You can follow us on Twitter. Send us an email at bardbrawl@gmail.com. And you can come back and join us again. Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
See, that was a proper.
I love you.
I didn't say see you again.
See you again next time.
See you later. 52. So am I as the rich whose blessed key can bring to him his sweet uplocked treasure, the which he will not every hour survey, for blunting the fine point of seldom pleasure. Therefore are feasts so solemn and so rare, since seldom coming in the long year set, like stones of worth they thinly placed are, or captain jewels in the carcanet. So is the time that keeps you as my chest, or as the wardrobe which the robe doth hide, to make some special instant special blessed, by new unfolding his imprisoned pride. Blessed are you whose worthiness gives scope, being had, to triumph, being lacked, to hope.